As the number of cases of the novel coronavirus grows here in Wisconsin and elsewhere, so is the number of questions we're getting about COVID-19 through our Wisconsin project. Joining me now to answer some of these questions is Dr. Jeffrey Potthoff. He's Chief Quality Officer for UW Health. Thanks for taking the time.
Oh, thanks.
Many people have sent in questions to us about the very basics, so let's start there. What are the symptoms of COVID-19, and when is the right time for someone to contact a doctor?
Yeah, so the symptoms of COVID-19, the most common symptom is fever, and individuals who have COVID-19 would also likely be experiencing a cough, fatigue, and some will have shortness of breath. As far as when to call your doctor, if you feel like your symptoms are similar to a cold or the regular flu and you're handling it pretty well, it's not inappropriate to necessarily take care of yourself in the home with normal over-the-counter medications. However, if you start to get concerned with the level of shortness of breath that you might have or get to the point where you're getting worried about what might happen, that would probably be a good time to contact your doctor and ask a question about whether it makes sense for you to seek care outside the home.
And several people have also asked if it turns out to be the time for a person to get tested, how does the actual process of being tested work? And are there enough tests available for everyone here who needs them?
Yeah, so the way the process works, and certainly with our health system, but I know for many others, is we've sent out a strong message to call ahead. We are getting more and more testing kits every day, but at the same time, we are trying to figure out who would benefit from a test and then prioritize those individuals for testing. Because even if we have enough test kits, we don't have always enough people to do the testing in a super fast manner. So as you start to become a higher risk group, so individuals who potentially had international travel or domestic travel to an area with known community spread who now have symptoms, those would be individuals we'd be pretty interested in testing. If you're older and you have some symptoms, so say you're 65 years old and you have some underlying heart disease or lung disease, we'd be more interested in testing those people. People who are not particularly ill, there have been instances where when they call our hotline, we'll say, yeah, you're a candidate, we want to test you, but unfortunately, we don't have anyone who can test you right now. Why don't you isolate in the house, and tomorrow we'll send someone out to get you tested. So sometimes it's not even same-day testing. Once we do the test, so the physical act of collecting the samples have to go to a lab. Until just a few days ago, our only option was really the state lab of hygiene. But we are seeing more private labs and other labs around the country bring this testing online. So that is turning around or making our turnaround time quite a bit quicker. For the most part, the test itself, I think, only takes like 4 or 8 hours to perform. So a lot of the tests we're getting back within 1 to 2 days. I think right now, 1 to 2 days, and we hope that that gets quicker as more centers are able to test.
One of the key pieces of guidance we hear over and over is if you're sick, stay home, restrict your activities. We've also gotten questions about how much people should restrict normal activities if they're not sick. One person asked whether it would be safe or prudent to take her children to the movies this weekend. Several people asked about the safety of going to restaurants, and another asked whether her family should cancel a trip to the Dells for spring break. With the caveat that these answers could change as conditions change, what advice would you give now?
Yeah, this is like the hardest question that we get. What we worry about with COVID-19 is that we won't necessarily be able to contain its spread. If we don't feel that we can contain it and that we'll get in the community, then our only strategy to combat the rapid rate of infections is this idea that I'm sure you're hearing about called social distancing, trying to keep two people or more than, 3 feet away from each other. And that is why you're seeing these incredibly drastic efforts, such as canceling the basketball tournaments, Disney World closing. These are all efforts intended to keep people from congregating. Right now in Wisconsin, without confirmed community spread, we can't give a hard recommendation that some of these gatherings should be canceled. But at the same time, I don't think it's a bad idea for folks to think about, is the event that I'm going to essential or non-essential, just out of an abundance of caution. Maybe even if the science doesn't support it today, it might support it tomorrow. The other question you asked is, what about healthy people? This is something that we hear, or I hear folks say, is they'll be saying something along the lines of, you know what, I'm 20 years old, I'm 30 years old. I know that COVID-19, if I got it, it won't be that severe. So I'll just keep doing what I'm going to do because I don't think I would get that sick. And I can see the logic behind that, but the danger in that logic is that if people who feel that they might not get as sick, go out into the community and become the vectors to pass this disease along, sooner or later, the people who are at risk will catch that disease. And if the rate of people catching the disease rises rapidly, we'll outstrip the ability of the healthcare system to take care of them. By practicing this social distancing, we spread out the amount of time we have to take care of all the people who get infected and hopefully not outstrip the capacity of the health system. So although it's hard to say today what to do in Wisconsin, these ideas of like, how do I try not to congregate with large groups of people are not bad ideas.
And part of that is evaluating in our own lives how much contact we have on a day-to-day basis with other people. I mean, for example, I live in a city. I ride the bus to work, and the buses were, until at least this week, pretty full. And now I have to start to think, well, I sit pretty close to other people. Does my commute to work now need to include some social distancing?
Yeah, and I think as you start to like play that out, this can become really disruptive. And then there's this, you know, risk benefit of, if I don't have any food in the house and I need to go to the grocery store, you probably need to, you know, try to decrease those high volume times. At the same time, if I'm looking to go to a show or a party and it's not that important, that might be something that I say, you know what, I'm not willing to take on even that small risk of exposing myself to someone who might have the disease.
We've also received some questions about how quarantine works. In particular, people have asked, how do you quarantine yourself if you live with or even care for others, be they members of your family, humans, or pets that may need to be taken outside regularly, or some that live outside and need care too?
Yeah. So quarantine is where we take people who we think might have been exposed, and we say, hey, why don't you just stay in your home for 14 days and see if you get symptoms. For those folks, we say, hey, practice good hand hygiene. If you get symptoms, you know, let us know. And the other issue that I think gets a little bit trickier is those who are in isolation. So those folks who are positive in their home, that creates a lot of angst because they're worried that they're going to give it to other people in their home. We know that people who are isolated in their home with COVID-19, the fact that they know that they have the disease, they become very careful with what they're doing, hand hygiene, who they're around. They tend to stay in a room that is not with the rest of their family. There are some small studies looking at, you know, what is the rate of transmission to other people in the house when you already have a positive COVID-19 patient in that house. And surprisingly, it's under 10%. So with good hand hygiene and these good tactics, even living in the same house with a person with COVID-19, it tends to work out pretty good for most people.
Dr. Jeffrey Potthoff is Chief Quality Officer at UW Health. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
This conversation was informed by questions submitted by our audience as part of the Wisconsin Project. Submit your questions or concerns about COVID-19, and we'll do our best to answer them. You can send us those questions and get our latest coverage of the outbreak at wpr.org/COVID.